When rain?
When the hurly-burly's done. When the battle's lost and won.
That will be in the set of sun.
Where the place?
Upon the heath. There to meet with Macbeth.
A drum, a drum. Macbeth doth come.
Thrice
again to make up nine.
Macbeth and Banquo, generals in the victorious army of Duncan, King of Scotland, are going to rejoin their king.
So foul and fair a day I have not seen.
How far is call to forage? What are these? So withered and so wild in their attire that look not like the inhabitants of the earth and yet are aren't. Live you or are you aught that man may question? Seem to understand me by each at once her choppy finger laying upon her skinny lips. You should be women, and yet your beards forbid me to interpret that you are so.
Speak if you can. What are you?
All hail,
sir, why do you start and seem to fear things that do sound so fair? In the name of truth, are ye fantastical, or that indeed which outwardly ye show? My noble partner, you greet with present grace and great prediction of noble having and of royal hope that he seems wrapped withal. To me you speak not. If you can look into the seeds of time and say which grain will grow and which will not, speak then to me, who neither beg nor fear your favors nor your hate.
Stay, you imperfect speakers, tell me more. By Sinel's death I know I am Thane of Glamis, but how of Cawdor? The Thane of Cawdor lives, a prosperous gentleman. And to be king stands not within the prospect of belief, no more than to be Cawdor.
The earth hath bubbles as the water has, and these are of them. Whither are they vanished?
Into the air. What seemed corporal melted as breath into the wind. Would they had stayed.
Such things here as we do speak about? Or have we eaten on the insane route that takes the least prisoner?
Your children shall be kings.
You shall be king.
And Thane of Cawdor, too, meant it not so.
To the selfsame tune and words.
Who's here?
The king has happily received, Macbeth, the news of thy success.
We are sent to give thee from our royal master thanks.
And for an earnest of a greater honor, he bade me from him call thee Thane of Cawdor, in which addition, hail, most worthy Thane, for it is thine.
Thane of Cawdor. Greatest is mine. Thanks for your pains. Do you not hope your children shall be kings when those that gave the Thane of Cawdor to me promised no less to them?
That trusted home might yet enkindle you unto the crown, besides the Thane of Cawdor. But 'tis strange, and oftentimes to win us to our harm, the instruments of darkness tell us truths, win us with honest trifles to betray us in deepest consequence.
Cousins, a word, I pray you.
Two truths are told as happy prologues to the swelling act of the imperial theme.
Yes, supernatural soliciting cannot be ill, cannot be good. If ill, why hath it given me earnest of success, commencing in a truth? I am Thane of Cawdor.
if good, why do I yield to that suggestion whose horrid image doth unfix my hair and make my seated heart knock at my ribs against the use of nature? Present fears are less than horrible imaginings. My thought, whose murder yet is but fantastical, shakes so my single state of man that function is smothered in surmise, and nothing is but what is not. If chance will have me king, why, chance may crown me without my stir. Come what come may, time and the hour run through the roughest day.
Worthy Macbeth, we stay upon your leisure.
Give me your favor. My dull brain was wrought with things forgotten. Kind gentlemen, your pains are registered where every day I turn the leaf to read them. Let us toward the king. Banquo, think upon what hath chanced, and at more time, the interim having waited, let us speak our free hearts each to other.
Very gladly.
Till then, enough. Come, friends.
Macbeth sends a fast messenger to Lady Macbeth, telling her of his strange encounter with the witches and how they have hailed him as Thane of Cawdor and future king.
Glamis thou art, and Cawdor, and shalt be what thou art promised. Yet do I fear thy nature. It is too full of the milk of human kindness to catch the nearest way. Thou wouldst be great, but not without ambition, but without the illness should attend it. What thou wouldst highly, that wouldst thou holily. Wouldst not play false, and yet wouldst wrongly win. Thou wouldst have, great Glamis, that which cries, thus thou must do if thou wouldst have it, and that which rather thou dost fear to do than wishest should be undone. Hie thee hither, that I may pour my spirit in thine ear and chastise with the valor of my tongue all that impedes thee from the golden round which fate and metaphysical aid doth seem to have thee crowned withal. What is your tidings?
The king comes here tonight.
Thou art mad to say it. Is not thy master with him, who, were it so, would have informed for preparation?
So please you, it is true, our thane is coming. One of my fellows had the speed of him, who, almost dead for breath, had scarcely more than would make up his message.
Give him tending. He brings great news. And the raven himself is hoarse, that croaks the fatal entrance of Duncan under my battlements. Come, you spirits that tend on mortal thoughts, unsex me here, and fill me from the crown to the toe top full of direst cruelty. Make thick my blood. Stop up the access and passage to remorse, that no compunctious visitings of nature shake my fell purpose, nor keep peace between the effect and it. Come to my woman's breasts and take my milk for gall, you murdering ministers, wherever in your sightless substances you wait on nature's mischief. Come, thick night, and pull thee in the dunnest smoke of hell, that my keen knife see not the wound it makes, nor heaven peep through the blanket of the dark to cry, hold, hold. Great Glamis, worthy Cawdor, greater than both by the all-hail hereafter. Thy letters have transported me beyond this ignorant present, and I feel now the future in the instant.
My dearest love, Duncan comes here tonight.
And when goes hence?
Tomorrow, as he purposes.
No, never shall sun that morrow see. Your face, my thane, is as a book where men may read strange matters. To beguile the time, look like the time. Bear welcome in your eye, your hand, your tongue. Look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it. He that's coming must be provided for. And you shall put this night's great business into my dispatch, which shall to all our nights and days to come give solely sovereign sway and masterdom.
We will speak further.
Only look up clear. To alter favor, ever is to fear. Leave all the rest to me.
Duncan, King of Scotland, with his son Malcolm, heir to the throne, arrives at the castle. A great banquet is held in his honor. Macbeth, conscience-ridden, leaves the hall.
If it were done when 'tis done, then to well, if were done quickly. If the assassination could trammel up the consequence and catch with his surcease success, that but this blow might be the be-all and the end-all. Here, but here, upon this bank and school of time, we'd jump the life to come. But in these cases, we still have judgment here, that we but teach bloody instructions which, being taught, return to plague the inventor. This even-handed justice commends the ingredients of our poisoned chalice to our own lips. He's here in double trust. First, as I am his kinsman and his subject, strong both against the deed. Then, as his host, who should against his murderer shut the door, I'll bear the knife myself. Besides, as Duncan hath borne his faculties so meek, hath been so cleared in his great office, that his virtues will plead like angels, trumpet-tongued against the deep damnation of his taking off, and pity, like a naked newborn babe striding the blast, or heaven's cherubim, horsed upon the sightless couriers of the air, shall blow the horrid deed in every eye, that tears shall drown the wind. I have no spur to prick the sides of my intent, but only vaulting ambition, which o'erleaps itself and falls on the other. Anna, what news?
He's almost supped. Why have you left the chamber?
Has he asked for me?
No, not he has.
We will proceed no further in this business. He hath honored me of late, and I have bought golden opinions from all sorts of people, which should be worn now in their newest glass, not cast aside so soon.
Was the hope drunk wherein you dressed yourself? Hath it slept since, and wakes it now to look so green and pale at what it did so freely? From this time, such I account thy love. Art thou afeard to be the same in thine own act and valor as thou art in desire? Wouldst thou have that which thou esteem'st the ornament of life, and live a coward in thine own esteem, letting I dare not wait upon I would, like the poor cat of the adage?
Peace. I dare do all that may become a man. Who dares do more is none.
What beast wast then that made you break this enterprise to me? When you durst do it, then you were a man. And to be more than what you were, you would be so much more the man. Nor time nor place did then adhere, and yet you would make both. They have made themselves, and that their fitness now does unmake you. I have given suck, and know how tender 'tis to love the babe that milks me. I would, while it was smiling in my face, have plucked my nipple from his boneless gums and dashed the brains out. Had I so sworn as you have done to this?
If we should fail.
We fail. But screw your courage to the sticking place and we'll not fail. When Duncan is asleep, whereto the rather shall his day's hard journey soundly invite him, his two chamberlains will I with wine and wassail so convince that memory, the warder of the brain, shall be a fume, and the receipt of reason a limbic only. When in swinish sleep their drenched natures lie as in a death, what cannot you and I perform upon the unguarded Duncan? What not put upon his spongy officers, who shall bear the guilt of our great quell?
Bring forth men, children only, for thy undaunted metal should compose nothing but males. Will it not be received when we have marked with blood those sleepy two of his own chamber and used their very daggers that they have done?
Who dares receive it other, as we shall make our griefs and clamor roar upon his death?
I am settled, and bend up each corporal agent to this terrible feat. Away, and mock the time with fairest show. False face must hide what the false heart doth know.
The king sleeps. All but Macbeth are at rest.
A dagger which I see before me, the handle toward my hand. Come, let me touch thee. I have thee not, and yet I see thee still. Art thou not fateful vision, sensible to feeling as to sight? Or art thou but a dagger of the mind, a false creation proceeding from the heat-oppressed brain? I see thee yet. In form as palpable as this which now I draw. Thou marshalst me the way that I was going, and such an instrument I was to use. Mine eyes are made the fools of the other senses. Or else, worth all the rest, I see thee still, and on my blade and dudgeon gouts of blood, which was not so before. There's no such thing. The bloody business which informs thus to mine eyes. Now, o'er the one half world, nature seems dead, and wicked dreams abuse the curtained sleep. Witchcraft celebrates pale Hecate's offerings, and withered murder, alarmed by his sentinel, the wolf, whose howls his watch. Thus, with his stealthy pace, with Tarquin's ravishing strides towards his design, moves like a ghost. How sure and firm set earth, hear not my steps which way they walk, for fear the very stones prate of my whereabout, and take the present horror from the time which now suits with it. Whiles I cheat, he lives. Words to the heat of deeds, too cold breath gives. I go, and it is done. The bell invites me. Hear it not, Duncan, for it is a knell that summons thee to heaven.
Which hath made them drunk, hath made me bold. What hath quenched them, hath given me fire. Hark! Peace. It was the owl that shrieked, the fatal bellman which gives the sternest good night. He is about it. The doors are open, and the surfeited grooms do mock their charge with snores. I have drugged their possets, that death and nature do contend about them, whether they live or die.
Who's there? What ho?
Alack, I'm afraid I have awaked, and 'tis not done. The attempt and not the deed confounds us. I laid their daggers ready. He could not miss them. Had he not resembled my father as he slept, I had dumped my husband.
I have done the deed. A noise.
The owl scream and the crickets cry. Did not you speak?
When?
Now.
As I descended.
High.
As one did laugh in sleep, and one cried murder, that they did awake each other. I stood and heard them, but they did say their prayers and addressed them again to sleep. One cried God bless us, and amen the other. As they had seen me with these hangman's hands listening their fear, I could not say amen when they did say God bless us.
Mr. Reed, not so deeply.
But wherefore could I not pronounce amen? I had most need of blessing, and amen stuck in my throat.
These deeds must not be thought after these ways. So it will make us mad.
I thought I heard a voice cry, sleep no more. Macbeth, does murder sleep? The innocent sleep. Sleep that knits up the raveled sleeve of care. The death of each day's life. Sore labor's bath. Balm of hurt minds. Great nature's second course. Chief nourisher in life's feast.
What do you mean?
Still it cried, sleep no more to all the house. Glamis hath murdered sleep, and therefore Cawdor shall sleep no more. Macbeth shall sleep no more.
Who was it that thus cried? Why, worthy Thane, you do unbend your noble strength to think so brain-sickly of things. Go, get some water and wash this filthy witness from your hand. Why did you bring these daggers from the place? They must lie there. Go, carry them and smear the sleeping rooms with blood.
I'll go no more. I am afraid to think what I have done. Look on again. I dare not.
Infirm of purpose. Give me the daggers. The sleeping and the dead are but as pictures. 'Tis the eye of childhood that fears a painted devil. If he do bleed, I'll gild the faces of the grooms withal, for it must seem their guilt.
Whence is that knocking? House with me when every noise appalls me. What hands I hear! They pluck out mine eyes! Will all great Neptune's ocean wash this blood clean from my hand? No, this my hand will rather the multitudinous seas incarnadine, making the green one red.
My hands are of your color, but I shame to wear a heart so white. Hear a knocking at the south entry. Retire we to our chamber. A little water clears us of this deed. How easy is it then? Your constancy hath left you unattended. Hark, more knocking. Oh, get on your nightgown, lest occasion call us and show us to be watchers. Be not lost so poorly in your thoughts.
To know my deed, 'twere best not know myself. Wake, Duncan, with thy knocking. I would thou couldst.
It was Macduff who knocked, and it was he who discovered the murder. Fearing for his own safety, Malcolm, the king's heir, flees to England. Macbeth is crowned King of Scotland. Banquo and his son Fleance are there to pay him homage.
Thou hast it. Myself shall be the root and father of many kings. But hush you no more.
Here's our chief guest.
If he had been forgotten, it had been as a gap in our great feast, and all thing unbecoming.
Tonight we hold a solemn supper, sir, and I'll request your presence.
Let your highness command upon me.
Ride you this afternoon?
Aye, my good lord.
Is't far you ride?
As far, my lord, as will fill up the time twixt this and supper.
Fail not our feast?
My lord, I will not.
Aye, you to horse. Adieu till you return at night. Goes Fleance with you?
Aye, my good lord. Our time does call upon us.
I wish your horses swift and sure of foot. Farewell. Let every man be master of his time till 7 at night to make society the sweeter welcome. We will keep ourselves till supper time alone. Why then, God be with you.
Sleepless with guilt, Macbeth is yet haunted by the witch's prophecy that Banquo's heirs shall be kings.
To be thus is nothing, but to be safely thus, our fears in Banquo stick deep.
Gently, my lord, sleep o'er your rugged locks. Be bright and jovial among your guests tonight.
So shall I, love, and so I pray be you. Let your remembrance apply to Banquo. Present him eminence, both with eye and tongue. Oh, full of scorpions is my mind, dear wife. Punished Banquo and his fleance lives.
But in them nature's copy is not eterne.
There's comfort yet. They are assailable. Then be thou jocund. Ere the bat hath flown his cloistered flight, ere to black Hecate's summons the shard-born beetle with his drowsy hums hath rung night's yawning peal, there shall be done a deed of dreadful note.
What's to be done?
Be innocent of the knowledge, dearest Chuck, till thou applaud the deed. Come, sealing night, scarf up the tender eye of pitiful day, and with thy bloody and invisible hand cancel and tear to pieces that great bond which keeps me pale. Light thickens, and the crow makes wing to the rooky wood. Good things of day begin to droop and drowse, whilst night's black agents to their praise do rouse. Thou marvelst at my words, but hold thee still. Things bad begun make strong themselves by ill.
Outside the castle walls, the murderers lie in wait.
The west yet glimmers with some streaks of day. Now spurs the lated traveller apace to gain the timely inn, and near approaches the subject of our watch.
Hark, I hear horses.
Give us a light there, hold!
When is he? The rest that are within the note of expectation already are in the court.
His horses go about for
most of my hope, but he does usually so all men do from hence the palace gate make up their walk.
A light.
Tis he.
Stand to it.
It will be rain tonight.
Let it come down. Treachery. Fly, good prince. Fly. Come here to the bed.
There's but one down. The sun has fled.
We have lost best half of our affair.
On the way to the banquet, Macbeth catches sight of the murderers.
There's blood upon my face.
Just barn course then.
Is he dispatched?
My lord, his throat is cut. That I did for him.
Thou art the best of the cutthroats. Yet he's good that did the like for Fleance.
Most royal, sir. Fleance escaped.
My royal lord, you do not give the cheer.
Sweet remembrancer. Now, good digestion wait on appetite, and health on both.
It please your highness, sit. Here had we now our country's honor roofed. Were the graced person of our Banquo present, who, may I rather challenge for unkindness than pity for mischance.
His absence, sir, lays blame upon his promise. Pleased your highness to grace us with your royal company.
The table is full.
Here is a place reserved, sir.
Where?
Here, my good lord.
This is the grove, your highness. Macbeth sees the ghost of Banquo sitting in his place.
Which of you have done this? What, my good lord?
I can not say I did it. Never shake thy gory locks at me.
Gentlemen, rise. His highness is not well.
Sit, worthy friends. My lord is often thus and have been from his youth. Pray you keep siege. The fit is momentary. Upon a thought he will again be well. If not you note him, you shall offend him and extend his passion. Feed and regard him not.
I am the bold one that dare look on that which might appall the devil.
This is the air-drawn dagger that you said led you to Duncan. Now, these enormous disguises, impostors to cruel people, would well become a human story to Winter's fire orphans by the land. Ah, see, why do you make some faces? We've always done no good on a stool.
Pray, see there. Behold, look! Oh, I see you.
Why, what care I? If thou canst nod, speak too. If charnel houses and our graves must send those that we bury back, our monuments shall be the moors of kites.
If I stand here,
I saw him.
Blood hath been shed ere now. In the olden time, ere human statute purged the gentle wheel. Aye, and since two murders have been performed too terrible for the ear, the time has been that when the brains were out, the man would die and there an end. But now, they rise again with 20 mortal murders on their crowns and push us from our stools. This is more strange than such a murder is.
My worthy lord, your noble friends do lack you.
I do forget. Do not muse at me, my most worthy friends. I have a strange infirmity, which is nothing to those that know me. Come, love and health to all. Then I'll sit down. Give me some wine, fill full. I drink to the general joy of the whole table. And to our dear friend Banquo, whom we miss. Would he were here. To all and him we thirst, and all to all.
Our duties and our debts!
Quit my sight! Let the earth hide thee! Bones are marrowless, thy blood is cold, thou hast no speculation in those eyes which thou dost glare with.
Think of this, good years. That is a thing of custom. Tis no other. Only it spoils the pleasure of the time.
What man dare, I dare. Approach thou like the rugged Russian bear, the armed rhinoceros, or the Hyrcan tiger. Take any shape but that, and my firm nerves shall never trip. Or be alive again, and dare me to the desert with thy sword. If trembling I inhabit them, protest me the baby of a girl. Hence! Horrible shadow! Unreal mockery! Hence!
Why? So? Being gone, I am a man again.
Pray you, sit still.
This face of a man, great for meeting me, was admired with all.
Can such things be, and overcome us like a summer's cloud without our special wonder?
You make me strange even to the disposition that I owe, and now I think you can behold such sights and keep the natural ruby of your cheeks. When mine is blanched with fear.
What sights, my lord?
I can't speak. He grows worse and worse. The question enrages him. At once, good night. The stand is upon the order of your going, but go at once.
Good night. And better health attend his majesty.
A kind good night to all.
It will have blood, they say. Blood will have blood.
What is the night?
Almost at odds with morning. Which is which?
I will tomorrow, and betimes I will. To the weird sisters, more shall they speak. For now I am bent to know by the worst means, the worst. For mine own good, all causes shall give way. I am in blood stepped in so far that should I wade no more, returning were as tedious as go o'er.
You lack the season of all natures.
Come. Well to sleep. My strange and self-abuse is the initiate fear that wants hard use. We are yet but young indeed. And now, you secret black and midnight hags, what is to do?
A deed without a name.
I conjure you by that which you profess, however you come to know it. Answer me. Though you untie the winds and let them fight against the churches, though the yesty waves confound and swallow navigation up, though bladed corn be lodged and trees blown down, though castles topple on their warders' heads, though palaces and pyramids do slope their heads to their foundations, though the treasure of nature's germens tumble all together even till destruction sicken, answer me to what I ask you. Call him. Let me see him.
Poets whose blood deep, grace and sweat from the bird. Oh, come high or low, I tell them of this death they show.
From the cauldron rises an armed head.
Tell me, thou unknown power. Thanks. Thou hast harped my fear aright. But one word more.
You will not be commanded. Here's another. More potent than the first.
A bloodstained child appears.
Macbeth!
Had I 3 ears, I'd hear thee. I'll make assurance double sure and take a bond of fate. Thou shalt not live, that I may tell pale-hearted fear it lies and sleep in spite of thunder.
A child appears, crowned with a tree in his hand.
What is this? It rises like the issue of a king, and wears upon his baby brow the round and top of sovereignty.
Lion-necked, crowned.
take no care who cheers, who frets, or where their spires are. And there shall never vanquish me until great Verlawood to high Dunsany shall come against him.
That will never be. Who can impress the forest, bid the tree unfix his earthbound root? Sweet boatman's good. Rebellion's head rise never till the wood of Burnham rise, and our high place Macbeth shall live the lease of nature, pay his breath to time and mortal custom.
There. What's your grace's will?
Saw you the weird sisters?
No, my lord.
Came they not by you?
No, indeed, my lord.
I did hear the galloping of horse. Who was it came by?
It is two or three, my lord, that bring you word. Macduff is fled to England.
Fled? To England?
Aye, my good lord.
Time. Thou anticipatest my dread exploits. Flighty purpose never is o'ertook unless the deed go with it. From this moment, the very firstlings of my heart shall be the firstlings of my hand. And even now, to crown my thoughts with acts, be it thought and done. The castle of Macduff I will surprise, seize upon Fife, give to the edge of the sword his wife, his babes, and all unfortunate souls that trace him in his line. But no more.
Macduff, in England, urges Malcolm to lead an army against Macbeth. But their conference is interrupted.
Oh, good Macduff, your castle is surprised. Your wife and babes savagely slaughtered.
My children, too.
Wife, children, servants, all that could be found.
My wife killed, too.
I have said.
Be comforted. Let's make us medicines of our great revenge to cure this deadly grief.
He has no children. All, my pretty one. Did you say all?
Aye.
Oh, well, cut.
What? All my pretty chickens and their dam?
But one fell swoop.
Disputed like a man.
I shall do so. But I must also feel it as a man. I cannot but remember such things were that were most precious to me. Did heaven look on and would not take their part? Sinful Macduff. They were all struck for thee. Not that I am. Not for their own demerits, but for mine fell slaughter on their souls. Heaven rest them now.
Be this the whetstone of your sword. Let grief convert to anger. Blunt not the heart, enrage it.
Oh, I could play the woman with mine eyes and braggart with my tongue. But gentle heaven, cut short all intermission. Front to front, bring thou this fiend of Scotland and myself. Within my sword's length, set him. If he escape, heaven forgive him too.
This tune goes madly. Our power is ready. Our lack is nothing but our leave. Macbeth is ripe for shaking. And the powers above put on their instruments. Receive what cheer you may. The night is long, but never finds the day.
Hey.
As the avenging army gathers against the turret, the distraught Lady Macbeth walks in her sleep.
Yet, here's a spot. Out, damned spot. Out, I say. One, two. I think it's time to do it. Hell is murky. Fie, my lord, fie. A soldier and a feared. What need we fear? Who knows it when none can call our power to account? Yet who would have thought the old man to have had so much blood in him? The Thane of Fife had a wife. Where is she now? What? Will his hands ne'er be clean? No more of that, my lord, no more of that. You mar all with this starting. Yet, here's the smell of the blood still. All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand. Oh. Wash your hands. Put on your nightgown. Look not so pale. I tell you yet again, Banquo's buried. He cannot come out on's grave. To bed. To bed. There's knocking at the gate. Come. 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 Give me your hand. What's done cannot be undone. To bed. To bed. To bed. To bed.
Malcolm's army approaches Birnam Wood. Macbeth fortifies his castle of Dunsinane.
Bring me no more reports.
Till Birnam Wood, removed till Dunsinane, I cannot attend with fear. What's the boy, Malcolm? Was he not born of woman? The spirits that know all mortal consequences have pronounced me thus. Fear not, Macbeth. No man that's born of woman shall e'er have power upon thee. The mind I sway by and the heart I bear shall never sag with doubt nor shake with fear. The devil damn thee black, thou cream-faced loon. Where got'st thou that goose look?
There is 10,000.
Peace, villain?
Soldiers, sir.
Don't prick thy face and overread thy fear, thou lily-livered boy. What soldiers, patch? Death of my soul. Those linen cheeks of thine are counselors to fear. What soldiers, wave face?
The English force, so please you.
Take thy face hence. Seaton, I'm sick at heart when I behold. Seaton, I said, this push will cheer me ever or deceit me now. I have lived long enough. My way of life is fallen into the sere, the yellow leaf. And that which should accompany old age as honor, love, obedience, troops of friends, I must not look to have, but in their stead, curses. Not loud, but deep. Mouth honor, breath which the poor heart would fain deny and dare not. Seaton!
What's your gracious pleasure?
What news more?
All is in the third, my lord, as was reported.
I'll fight until from my bones my flesh be hacked. Give me my armor. I will not be afraid of death and bane till Birnam Forest come to Dunsinane. Hang out our banners on the outward walls. Cry still they come. Our castle's strength will laugh a siege to scorn. What is that noise?
It's the cry of women, my good lord.
I have almost forgot the taste of fears. The time has been my senses would have cooled to hear a night shriek.
Or my fell of hair, would at a dismal treatise rouse and stir as life were in it. I have supped full with horrors. Direness familiar to my slaughterer's thoughts cannot once start me.
Wherefore was that crime?
The queen, my lord, is dead.
She should have died hereafter. There would have been a time for such a word. Tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, creeps in this petty pace from day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing.
Thou comest to use thy tongue, thy story quickly.
Gracious my lord, I should report that which I say I saw, but know not how to do it.
Well, say so.
As I did stand my watch upon the hill, I looked toward Burnham, and anon methought the wood began to move.
Liar and slave.
Let me endure your wrath if it be not so. Within this 3 mile may you see it coming. I say a moving grove.
If thou speakst false upon the next tree, shalt thou hang alive till famine cling thee.
If thy speech be sooth, I care not if thou dost for me as much. I pull in resolution and begin to doubt the equivocation of the fiend that lies like truth. Fear not till Burnham Wood do come to Dunsinane, and now a wood comes toward Dunsinane. Arm, arm and out. If this which he avouches does appear, there is nor flying hence nor tarrying here. I begin to be weary of the sun, and wish the estate of the world were now undone.
Ring the alarm bell. Blow, wind, come, rack. At least we'll die with harness on our back.
Malcolm and Macduff had ordered their soldiers to carry a leafy bough in front of them to disguise the number of their force. And so, Burnham Wood came to Dunsinane.
Now near enough. Your leafy screens throw down and shone like those you are. Make all our trumpets speak. Give them all breath. Those clamorous harbingers of blood and death.
Children's ghosts will haunt me still. I cannot strike at wretched kerns whose arms are hired to bear their staves. Either thou, Macbeth, or else my sword with an unbattered edge I sheathe again undeeded. Let me find him, Fortune. And more I beg not.
Tie me to a stake. I cannot fly, but bear-like I must fight the course. What's he that was not born of woman?
Such a one am I to fear, or none.
Turn, hellhound. Turn!
Of all men else I have avoided thee. I'll get thee back. My soul is too much charged with blood of thine already.
I have no words. My voice is in my sword. Thou bloodier villain than terms can give thee out.
Thou losest labor. As easy mayst thou the entrenchment air with thy keen sword impress as make me bleed. Let fall thy blade on vulnerable crests. I bear a charmed life which must not yield to one of woman born.
Despair thy charm. And let the angel whom thou still hast served tell thee, Macduff was from his mother's womb untidily ripped.
Ah!
Accursed be the tongue that tells me so. But it has power but a part of man. And me, those juggling fiends, no more believe to that poulter with us in a double sense, that keep the word of promise to our ear and break it to our hope. I'll not fight with thee.
Then yield thee, coward. Live to be the show and gaze of the time.
I will not yield to kiss the ground before young Malcolm's feet and to be baited with the rabble's curse. Though Burnham would be come to Dunsinane, and thou opposed being of no woman born, that will I try the last. Before my body I throw my warlike shield. Lay on, Macduff, and damned be him that first cries, hold enough!
Salutation in their minds, whose voices I desire aloud with mine. Hail, King of Scotland!
Hail!